It is time for us again to delve into God's Word, something that I hope everyone is doing on their own time throughout the week. Not just right now during this lesson, but also throughout the week. We cannot allow ourselves to become complacent during this time and neglect our study of God's Word. And it will certainly be a great day when we can come together again once more to study the Word of God together. But until that point, we do need to continue to do so on our own. And we also certainly do all, again, we all look forward to the day in which this global event regarding this virus comes to an end. It will be a great comfort to all of us when this event is behind us, when we can return to our daily lives as normal, and when we can come together again once more. And while we are unable to do so, as we looked at last week, we still do have those responsibilities towards one another in being a source of encouragement to one another, in praying for one another, and in being a comfort to one another. However, we can also find a great source of comfort, you know, the ultimate source of comfort, in the hope that we have in Christ. Right? The comfort that we have in with one another, the comfort that we have in this life, be it from the removal of burdens or even the, you know, the eventual passing of things like this virus, right? That is a comfort. That is a comfort that is as great as it is and can be. It is merely temporary, right? You know, that we can offer one another comfort, but it is only temporary. I know we all want this virus stuff to be behind us and for things to go back to normal or as much as normal can be. However, how long will that last? How long will that comfort last? Yes, the circumstances the world faces today, the measures being taken regarding this virus throughout our world are really unlike anything that any of us have seen, even the oldest of our number. But once this passes, which it will, how long will it be before something else comes up in our lives that causes distress? It may not hit all of us at the same time. It may not affect all of us at the same time like this virus does. And even this, it is also affecting us all differently. It is affecting all of us, but not all of us in the same way, right? Some of us have simply had our daily lives disrupted, our daily routines for the time being, but it is also causing even greater distress for others, in, you know, those who perhaps do have the virus, or those who are unable to pay bills because they are unable to work at this time, or even those who have lost loved ones who are unable to have funerals or memorial services for their loved ones. Right, this situation is affecting everyone differently. But again, once this is behind us, how long will it be before something else comes up in our lives that causes distress? It is all but inevitable that something else will come up, no matter how young or how old we may be. It is all but inevitable that some kind of hardship will come up in the future, so long as we yet draw breath on this earth. Thankfully, though, when we turn to the Word of God, we can find a great source of comfort. Romans chapter 15, and verse 4, starting in verse 4, says, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now, may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded towards one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Right, what we have in Scripture, here in Romans, Paul speaking of the comfort and patience found in looking at the Old Testament examples, what we have in Scripture is a source of great comfort. It is a way for us to learn patience, but also a source of comfort. We can look at the examples found in Scripture of the faith and the patience that these great heroes of the faith found in the Scriptures, the great faith and comfort that they had in the Scriptures. We can look at their example and we can see that they ultimately overcame whatever it was that they were facing through their obedient faith to God. Now, we serve a God of comfort. He does not want us in agony, right? We serve a God of comfort, a God that offers us comfort and rest. He offers that to those who love Him and follow Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort." Right? He is the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the suffering of Christ abounds in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Right? God is the God of all comfort, we read in 2 Corinthians. He's the God of all comfort, and He is the source of comfort for us in whatever it is we may be facing in this life. Right? Through God, we can find comfort. But also, notice what is said there in 2 Corinthians 1. By extension, we, while in this life, we can offer comfort to others, to one another, because of the comfort that we have through Christ. And what a great comfort we do have in knowing that we, just as those great heroes of faith, we too can overcome whatever may come our way because of the comfort that we have from God through Christ. It is a comfort that goes far beyond this life. It is a comfort that is not simply a temporary relief from distress, but a comfort that is everlasting. It is an everlasting comfort. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 15. It is there that we read, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle." Now, verse 16, "Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Through Christ, as we see there, through Christ, through the grace of God that we have through Christ and His word, we have not just a temporary comfort, not just a temporary reprieve from the difficulties of this life, but we have been given an everlasting consolation, an everlasting comfort. Right? We know that one day we will leave this life. And for many in the world, that is a terrifying day. That is a day of great unknown, right? There is an unknown as to what lies beyond this life for many, right? But there's an unknown right now regarding how all of this stuff will turn out with the virus. But for many, when they look at the end of their life, it is a great unknown to them. But in Christ, we don't have to worry. In Christ, we don't have to worry about what is to come when we do leave this life, because we are promised an everlasting comfort. I'm reminded of the words of Christ in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. He says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The true rest that is offered by Christ, it does not come in this life. Yes, as we've seen, and we're going to continue to see, as we've seen, we get some rest in this life. We get rest and comfort in these words, in knowing that we have a future rest. We know that we have a comfort to look forward to, and that is a great rest for the soul and comfort as we go through this life, but the full extent, the fullest extent of that rest is not obtained while we yet linger in this life, right? If we die, which I say if because there are two ways to leave this life. One is to die before Christ returns, and then there is that chance that some of us may yet linger in this life when Christ does return, which we'll touch on a bit. But if we die, when we die, we can have a confidence in Christ, in knowing that comfort awaits us. One of the best depictions of the two different outcomes that await us when we leave this life is found in Luke chapter 16, starting in verse 19. It is here that we have the account of the rich man and Lazarus. And we know how the account unfolds, right? Verse 19 of Luke chapter 16 says, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who laid at his gates, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And so it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. All right, notice here, it's made very clear, abundantly clear about both of these men. They both died. Right? That's what we're looking at. That's what we see here. When we die, one of the two outcomes was either Abraham's bosom or paradise, as Christ would refer to it while he hung on the cross. Right? Lazarus died and was carried to Abraham's bosom or paradise. And the other outcome is Hades there. Torments, such as the rich man had, we see the rich man here with when he died, right? Look at that statement then, starting in verse 24 regarding these situations. Then he, that is the rich man, right? Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Okay, so one outcome when we leave this life is torment. Right? One is paradise, Abraham's bosom, but one is torment. Really, the antithesis of comfort, right? The antithesis of paradise. This is where the rich man finds himself and he begs, right? Notice that. He begs for relief. He begs for but a moment of relief, a moment of comfort from the torments he is experiencing in this place of torments, in Hades. He wasn't asking for a lot of relief, right? He said, just send Lazarus, have him dip the tip of his finger in water to cool my tongue. Right? And that's not asking for a lot of relief. It is a relief that wouldn't last very long at all. But even so, even such a temporary relief from the torments was not possible. Look at the response he gets in verse 25. And Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all of this, he says in verse 26, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. The outcome of where we go cannot be changed. We cannot pass from torments to paradise, and we cannot pass from paradise to torments. And notice again the difference, the exact opposite here, right? The rich man in torments, Lazarus, notice verse 25 there, Lazarus is comforted. When we leave this life, if we are in Christ, when we die If we are in Christ, if we place our faith in Christ, if we place our hope in Christ, if we obediently follow after Christ and ever look unto Him above all else in this life, we can look forward to being comforted. Paul would reiterate this assurance of comfort that exists for when we die and leave this earthly body behind in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Paul urges the brethren to, in 1 Thessalonians 4, to not be concerned about those who have died and gone on before those who yet remain alive, right? And he also gives comfort in that, right? Those who have died and those who yet remain when Christ returns will be united together again one day with Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning in verse 13. He says, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." Right? Again, so this is a comfort to those who are yet alive, right? Who are concerned about those who had gone on before them, right? He's saying, don't be sorrowful for those who have gone on before us, those who died and were in Christ. Don't be sorrowful for them because, verse 15, because for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. Right? We're not going to precede those who have already gone on before us and die. He says, for the Lord himself, verse 16, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then, verse 17, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. If we die, he's saying, right, don't worry about those who have gone on before us who have died in Christ. If we die, we will have comfort. But likewise, if we yet remain in this life when Christ returns, we will have comfort. We will all be united together with one another. And most of all, we'll be united together with the Lord. And that last statement in verse 17, that last statement cannot be emphasized enough. He says, we will all come together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And that last statement, and thus we shall always, right? We shall always be with the Lord. This is not a temporary comfort, right? This is not a temporary reprieve from the concerns of the world, from the financial concerns of the world, for the concerns regarding health, from any concern or difficulty that we may face in this life. This is, and as 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 said as well, this is an everlasting comfort. It is an everlasting comfort that we look forward to. And it is in this everlasting comfort that we look forward to that we can likewise find comfort in this life as well. Right? Note the last verse of 1 Thessalonians 4. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. And then verse 18, therefore, he says, comfort one another with these words. This comfort that we have revealed to us in Scripture about being with the Lord always, an everlasting comfort, as 2 Thessalonians 2 said, this comfort that is spoken of is comfort for us today. He tells us, comfort one another with these words about these things. Don't worry about those who have gone on before you, because they're going to be united with you one day. You yourselves who yet remain, who may remain when Christ returns, you will find comfort as well. Comfort one another with these words. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 17 through 19 would likewise emphasize the assurance that we have in Christ. Here in Hebrews chapter 6, particularly in regards to Christ being our high priest forever, Hebrews chapter 6, starting in verse 17, says, thus God, determined abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation. It is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope, verse 19, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. We have a strong consolation, a strong comfort. Those of us who have fled to God for refuge in looking to the hope that we have set before us, because Christ is our everlasting high priest. I love verse 19 and how strong this comfort is to us. This hope is, as verse 19, this hope we have is an anchor for the soul. It is an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast. We must anchor ourselves on the hope that we have in Christ during this great storm that rages around us at this current time in our world. But not just now, but at all times throughout our lives. And I'll leave you with but one more verse to consider as we bring this lesson to a close. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11. Finally, brethren, farewell. And I want to pause there for a second, right? This word for farewell mentioned here in, this is the New King James, this word for farewell is actually more along the lines of rejoice or be glad. Rather than saying farewell or goodbye, it's actually more, the word means more along the lines of rejoice or be glad. And so it's, finally, brethren, rejoice, become complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. If you are hearing this lesson and you are not yet in Christ, and you not only want a desire and are looking for comfort from the current situation going on in our world now, but also you want to be able to look forward to an everlasting comfort when we leave this life, there are a few things that you must do. All right, it doesn't just happen that you have some responsibilities in this part. To begin with, you must hear the word of God, as Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right? We cannot have faith without hearing the word of God, right? We can only have a true, obedient faith in Christ by hearing the word of God. And on that note, we also have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. John chapter 8 and verse 24, therefore I say unto you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. We likewise must repent of our sins. This is not simply being sorry for them or feeling bad about them, but it is a change of action and a change of life. Putting those things behind us and turning and looking to Christ. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. We have to confess Christ before men as the Son of God. Again, we have to believe that he is the Son of God, but we also have to confess him before men. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven. And then we have to put Christ on in baptism. Right, we throughout this lesson, I mentioned that a few times, right? Those who have died in Christ can look to a comfort. We can have assurance when we are in Christ and look to this everlasting comfort, everlasting consolation. We have to get into Christ, and it is through baptism that occurs. It is in Christ, through baptism, that we have the remission of sins. That's where we come in contact with the blood of Christ. This is what gets us into Christ. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21 says, there is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism. not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then after this, we have to continue to remain faithful, right? We have to continue to obediently follow after Christ for however long it is that we may live in this life. Revelation 2 and verse 10 tells us that we are to be faithful unto death, and if we are, we will receive a crown of life. Now, does doing these things mean that all of the problems of life will just magically vanish? Absolutely not. But they give us an escape from them one day. They give us, as we noted in this lesson today, they give us a comfort today in knowing that this life is not all that there is, right? In the grand scheme of things, this life is but a small glimpse of our existence. And if we are right with God when we leave this life, we can look to that comfort that awaits us, that everlasting comfort that awaits us. But if we die and we are not in Christ, if we die and we're not faithfully following Christ, and we've lived our lives removed from Him, then as we also saw, we have an outcome that awaits us that is not comfort, but is everlasting torments. And so, if you are ready to put Christ on in baptism, we can arrange for that to happen this very day. If you have already put Christ on in baptism and you've lost sight of the great hope that we have in Christ, you've lost sight of the great comfort we long for and look forward to someday when we do leave this life, there's no better time to get things right than today. If you need the prayers of the congregation, or if you have any need at all, that is what we are here for with one another. We are here to comfort one another with these words that we find in scriptures, with the words that we've looked at. We're here to be here for one another. So if you have any need, you know how to reach out to myself, you know how to reach out to the elder, you know how to reach out to one another. Anybody in the congregation, you know how to get a hold of people. So if you have any need, now is the time to make it known. The lesson is yours.